Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. We're live in L.A. It is hour three and what has been a great week for us and a fast week, month in March for Joy and I. Live in L.A., it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Fox just signed an 11-year deal with the NFL, NFC, America's Game of the Week. 11 more years of being number one. We get four Super Bowls in the next 12 years. That's a lot of Super Bowls. Matt Stafford, it's fascinating. So I had said when he got traded to the Rams, I said, I think it's an upgrade, and I like Jared Goff. I think he's got a better arm. I think Matt throws better in a cluttered pocket, but it's fascinating. So he goes from Detroit, which is a tough city. My wife's from there. It's a great city, but it's a tough city. Often overlooked, had to deal with issues. Now he comes to Los Angeles, where it's always sunny. Dodgers win the World Series. Lakers win the World Series. It's every day in California is optimistic. And it's a real cultural shift. It's a real change of life. And Matt Stafford, who was the number one high school quarterback out of Southland High School, I think, in Dallas. And then he went to Georgia, and he was great as a freshman. He goes to Detroit, breaks all sorts of records. He has the most passing attempts in a season in NFL history. He has the most fourth quarter comebacks in a season in NFL history. He has the most game-winning drives in a season in NFL history. But you think Matt Stafford, it's like, guy's getting clobbered again in Detroit. Now he's a Ram. Totally different football environment, and Matt Stafford is joining us live. It really is, Matt. First of all, thanks for coming on the show, and congratulations. L.A. is a good place to live, and we're happy to have you here. So let's start with that.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me. We're excited to be out here, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. So it is different, Matt. You go to Detroit, and we're a little bit of the savior. It had a losing football culture. My wife's from there. I know Detroit well. I visit Michigan. And those people are great people, and they work hard. And they've had to overcome a lot. Then you go to Los Angeles, it's the city of stars, and it's optimism, and the economy's flourishing. And it is different for you. You're not looked at as a savior for the franchise. But there is pressure, Matt. There's a lot of good players here, a lot. Good receivers. Cam Akers is a star. Do you sense now, all right, Matt, you got to get some playoff pelts here. This is a different ballgame culturally than Detroit.
Yeah, it's definitely a new opportunity for me. I'm excited about it. That pressure is a positive thing in my mind. It's something that I'm looking forward to. Like you said, we do have a bunch of great players. There's a bunch of team success in the past, 4 or 5 years here that I'm excited to be a part of. I'm going to do everything I can to bring the best version of myself to this team and make sure I blend in and help lead the way and get these, get these playoff games going, get these playoff wins going. That's obviously the goal, every time you play this game.
It's interesting. We just saw Juju Smith-Schuster take less money. Aaron Jones, very good back for the Packers, took less money. Free agency is a lot of different things. Some guys want wins. Some guys want lettuce. Some guys want culture. Some guys don't want to leave because they love their position coach. When you looked around, there's a lot of guys. I talked to three different general managers, and they were all interested in you, including Les Snead. What mattered to you?
Obviously I wasn't in control of that situation. I was a person that was getting traded. I wasn't on the free agent market. But Detroit was awesome in our talks, and we talked about, trying to get me to a place that was ready to win.
That's right.
A little bit closer to that than we currently stood at the Lions. So I'm obviously thrilled to be here. The Rams have won a bunch of football games in the last 4 years. And I'm excited to join that group of guys, that coaching staff, that front office, everybody, and try and bring a bunch more in the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
Now you, Sean McVay's system, they've got a lot of good skill people, but it's complex and they ask you to learn a lot fast. It'll probably feel like your high school to your college years with Mark Richt, and you're going to play fast when you were kind of thrown in from high school to college. And same thing, you're going to ask to be thrown in and play immediately. Do you remember that high school to college transition? And what's that like for you emotionally and mentally when it hit new playbook, get ready, you're starting soon?
Yeah, I do remember those times. You know, obviously that's a huge jump. You know, a whole different animal, high school to college. You know, but now I've been doing this a little bit of time now in the NFL, but it is a new challenge. A new offense. It's going to be a new language for me. I've got new teammates, and to do that, you know, in the COVID era where, you know, we're going to have a limited, if not zero, off season again, live and in person. So I'll have my work cut out for me. I'm excited about that challenge and know that, you know, when it comes Sundays in the fall, I'll be ready to go.
You had a lot of come from behind wins. You were often asked, listen, we trail late, save the team. There's a really good possibility you won't trail a lot in the fourth quarter. And they're going to say, Matt, despite that great arm and talent, hand it off a lot. So, I mean, seriously, Matt, you're not – it's going to be a different environment. And you've got one of the best arms in football. They may ask you in the fourth quarter to be safe. Well, how does that land for you?
If they let me, you know, be aggressive in the first three quarters, I'm cool with it. No, you know, hopefully I'm throwing some touchdowns to help us get that lead late in the game. You know, it's not given to us. We got to go out there. We got to earn it every single time. You know, and to be honest with you, I could care less about how the wins come as long as they come, whether that's defense playing great, us running the ball, me throwing it, whatever it takes to be in those games and have the opportunities to win them. I'm all for it.
You know, there were times that you didn't have a great O-line, great protection. You got banged around a lot. And Rams, that's not generally a problem. What is interesting in Sean McVay's offense, Matt, they like to roll the pocket a lot. And you are seen as, you know, you're athletic, obviously. And I went back and looked at some of your college stuff, and you moved around a lot. Detroit, it felt more pocket. McVay likes to move the pocket all over the place. And you're going to be asked to... you know, be nimble. Do you look forward to that? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm cool with that, Colin. I'm not afraid to move around a little bit. I think it does take a bunch of stress off the guys up front. If you can move the pocket, you know, just a few times a game to let the, you know, not let the defense know exactly where I'm going to be sitting the entire time. So I'm excited to do anything and everything asked of me. If that's moving around, throwing it on the run, I feel like I can do that and be successful. You know, obviously love sitting back in the pocket and doing my thing too, but whatever we need to do to win, I'm ready to do it.
Well, you won't get sacked by Aaron Donald anymore. he's a handful. How well do you know, like, what, tell me what your process has been. You want to figure this offense out in your personnel. Do you go to the film room and just say, I want to watch your games. I want to watch your people. I want to watch your players. What's it like for you now?
Yeah, that's a part of it, you know, just trying to get my hands on as much information as I possibly can, as quickly as I can. Obviously, I'm reaching out to some of the guys on the team, you know, just trying to get a feel for how things go and, you know, how I can, you know, assimilate myself into this team and make sure that, you know, when we get together live and in the locker room and all that kind of stuff, I'm ready to go and lead these guys in the right way.
So somebody told me you had a house here in California. And I mean, the Lions deserve credit because they did. You weren't a free agent, but they had asked you, listen, we're going to give you some teams. You've been very good for us. You're our all-time best quarterback. We'd like to help you out here. So Detroit deserves some credit. They made it. This was one of the places you wanted to play. And I mean, what is it about LA you like?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you're exactly right. Detroit was incredible to me. And my family really throughout our 12 years there. And to be honest, through this whole trade process as well. So I got to give them a bunch of credit and a big thanks. You know, the thing that really appealed to me the most about the Rams is just the ability to win games. You know, the last 4 years, they've won a ton of football games. Obviously, you know, Sean is a big draw for me as well. I think he's an outstanding play caller and a great head coach. And just the culture that he's built there, you know, from the top down, that's the number one thing I hear from people outside of you know, the Rams, is just how cool their culture is and you know, how fun it's going to be to be a part of. So I'm excited about the opportunity to dive right in and hopefully win a bunch of games.
Does it matter at all, Matt, that you have been in the NFC, you know a lot of the defensive coordinators. I mean, does that matter at all? I mean, if you had gone to the AFC, would it have felt a little different, like a little bit more of a learning experience?
Yeah, probably. But there is so much change in the NFL year to year. I mean, defensive coordinators are taking, head coaching jobs and vice versa. I mean, it's kind of – there's so much change. You never know what you're going to get year in and year out, whether it's in the division or in the conference. So it was going to be a learning curve no matter what. This definitely will be. But I'm excited about it and just happy to be an L.A. Ram.
Now, by the way, this is well told. You and Clayton Kershaw were childhood friends in Dallas. So if I'm not mistaken, you have a great arm. So you had to have played baseball, right? You had to have played baseball.
I did. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And he played football.
Yeah, he was my center freshman year of high school.
Your center?
Yeah.
He's a tall center.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've changed since freshman year. We'll just say that.
Now, you were obviously a very good baseball pitcher. Like, be honest, you threw a no-hitter. I mean, how good were you as a baseball pitcher?
I was actually – I played, like, shortstop and catcher.
Wow.
I pitched a little bit, but I was more out in the field. I used to catch Clayton a bunch when he was throwing early on in our youth, and then I played a bunch of shortstop, through high school.
So, to be honest, when Clayton Kershaw, you were – Matt Stafford was a catcher. When you were catching his stuff, and he was what, 16 years old, was it unbelievable? Like, did you know? Oh my God, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've been catching him for a long time, and he had always had the 12-6 curveball that just froze all lefties and crushed the righties too. So, and really the thing that I see now that has been there since he was a kid was his competitiveness on the mound. I mean, there's very few guys I feel like when I watch baseball that are out there just competing almost like a football player. And he brings that attitude to the mound, each and every time. It's fun to watch.
Was he a very good blocking center? Be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really remember too much about freshman football, to be honest with you, but he got kicked out of a game once for sticking up for me once. Yeah, a guy hit me late, and then he retaliated. So I appreciate the love. He always had my back.
Clayton Kershaw kicked out of a freshman football game. He's my kind of guy, my kind of player. Hey, Matt, good luck to you and your fam out here in L.A. and the Rams. It's a great organization. A lot of really good people inside those rooms, and I appreciate you stopping by our show.
Appreciate it, Colin. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Matt Stafford, Rams quarterback. How about that? Can you imagine
it's
that?
It's funny to picture. I mean, obviously, to his point, they're freshmen in high school. Their bodies have changed quite a bit.
Matt Stafford
then,
was the shortstop. Clayton was the pitcher.
And the center.
And then in football, he was the center, and he was the quarterback.
And a no-nonsense center.
Got thrown out of games and
getting
stuff.
Getting in DN's face.
I kind of like it, to be honest with you. I kind of respect Clayton Kershaw more. But, you get to those big, like Dallas, the big Dallas, L.A., Atlanta high schools, and you do get a lot of pro teams. Like, there's high schools in Southern California that have, like, 12 Division I football players on it. Like, that's the – now, as you know, Miami's got the same thing is the way
– South Florida, yeah. Western Pennsylvania,
there's all these
Texas.
Big cities always have, like, three or four or five, like, high school programs that they're just got – they got money and they've got –
Well, it's Friday Night Lights. Like, it's a big deal, high school football.
Dallas is interesting. I noticed this years and years ago. I flew into Dallas. This must have been 20 years ago. Maybe not that much, but I was at the other place. And I flew in on a Friday night to see a friend. And the high school football stadiums, like, Dallas is flat when you fly in. And there are like 8, 10 of them. And they were all, it was like dusk. It was like 6 at night on a Friday in the fall, 6:30, and the sun was coming down, and you just saw these pockets of light for miles, and they were all football stadiums, and they were big.
Yeah, it's a whole lifestyle.
20,000, 16,000, and they all dotted the horizon as you went, as we turned to the field in Dallas, and you looked, you just saw high school football.
I feel like you're pitching a high school football television show right now. This is a good pitch.
It matters. High school football matters in Texas. It's a big deal. Good stuff. Matt Stafford. Jason McIntyre joins us before the end of the show.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. this isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Sunday, don't miss your chance to win $10,000 of Clint Bowyer's money during the NASCAR Cup Series race at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and pick six outcomes in Clint's Stage 2 contest for your shot at a $10,000 guaranteed prize. It's completely free to play.
Jersey Mike's Month of Giving, 200 charities across the country. Visit a local store or go to jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. You know, we talked... It's funny, I talked to start the show about Carson Wentz is getting an upgrade in culture and coaching and offensive line and defense. It's the same with Matt Stafford. I mean, Matt Stafford is going from losing Detroit to winning Los Angeles. It's an upgrade in lifestyle. I mean, if you're rich, L.A. is better to live in than Detroit. It's not a knock. It's just there's more to do here. And the weather's better and the beaches and the mountains. But, I mean, like with Carson Wentz, my thing is, of course it's going to work. He's super talented. He's getting an upgrade in everything. He's getting head coaches better, O-line's better, defense is better, general manager's better, coach is better. Of course he'll work. Of course Carson Wentz is going to work. It's the same with Matt Stafford. I mean, Matt Stafford is even more dramatic. At least Philadelphia was good for a while when Carson Wentz is there. I mean, think about Matt. I'm not into this stuff. If you ever bet money on like MVP stuff, Matt Stafford in the NFC is a huge – first of all, he's a good story. And people who vote on MVP, writers, like a good story. Brady's no longer a fascinating story. It's year two in Tampa. They won a Super Bowl. Nobody's rooting for Tom, right? But Stafford gets a massive upgrade in culture, massive upgrade in weapons, massive upgrade in head coach, absolute upgrade offensive line. I mean, so it's, as I said about Wentz, if you're really talented, and I went to you, man or a woman, and I said, you're going to have a better sales staff behind you, a better boss, a better workplace culture, and more support. Of course you're going to pop. So I look at both of them as the same. I think Wentz is going to have a great year. He needs to be rebuilt a little bit because his accuracy issues were something last year. But I think Stafford the same thing. And I like Goff, but I think Jared Goff getting Dan Campbell, he's going to find out the real world and a bad O-line. And Stafford gets a great coach and a really good O-line. So, yeah, I think Wentz in the AFC and Stafford in the NFC are going to pop. They're anytime a talented person gets four or five upgrades in their work area, it always works. The only thing you worry about Wentz is he was asked a question yesterday by Greg Doyle. Some people think he's shot.
You've been the guy that's been called different things, and you're washed up or whatever. You've heard things on the field, off the field. You've heard it. What is it like to be you and to have all of a sudden everything is under attack?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know I'd been called washed up yet. So that's
injuries. Sorry.
I don't read a lot of the newspapers or listen to a lot of the media stuff. I often find out things from people like y'all. At the end of the day, I can't please everybody, and people are entitled to their own opinion. And, you know, I'm not going to sit and argue and dispute what people say, write, think, feel. You know, I can't please. I'll never win that game.
Yeah, I think I'll do fine. Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. 1,000 dealers in America. Visit HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. Joy Taylor with the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, A.J. Green has been the go-to receiver in Cincinnati
forever,
for a decade, and now he's headed to Arizona, where he will be a part of a very strong receiving core, and he's excited for this opportunity with a new team.
Coming to Arizona is refreshing. You saw what Tom Brady did last year. I think it's good, especially, like you said, you're coming to Arizona with the weather, grass, indoor. I'm excited. I played this game at a high level. For a long time, for me, I just want to go out there and play football and have fun again.
That's true. The Arizona weather is a little bit different than Cincinnati.
Well, I mean, it's when I lived in cold weather, I tolerated it. I was fine. Once you go to warm weather, it is hard to go back. You know, Brady said, I'm never going to live in that kind of weather again. And let's be honest, NFL players get old. Warm weather is better on your body.
I mean,
just
just not even NFL players. Like, there's a reason why people go to the South for the winter if they can afford to have a home down there.
Most pro athletes who play football in cold weather cities have a Florida or California or Arizona home.
Yeah, you don't want to train in the off season in the dead of winter in March. It's much more pleasant.
Ice fishing's way better up north, but lifestyle in warm weather cities is really high.
Listen, I grew up in Pittsburgh. Yeah. I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Been through many winters, walking through the mixture of melted snow and dirt when it's just cold and it's not wintry snow. Yes, it's obviously a better environment for your body to be in Arizona. As he said, it's indoor. And I think it's just a new space for him. Like, you know, we're optimistic. I'm optimistic about Cincinnati's direction now with Joe Burrow. But, you know, they've had some interesting years in Cincinnati. Now, he's had a very extensive injury history.
He does.
So,
but I don't think they're getting him to play 17 games.
No,
I
mean, they don't need to. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They have Christian Kirk. Andy Isabella, Larry Fitzgerald hasn't decided if he's coming back or not, but I mean, they have a good receiving core. They don't need to rely on him in that space.
No. If you gave him 11 games and he was ready to go for a playoff game, it's like that's what they're paying him for.
Exactly. So Dak Prescott finally got the deal he wanted after negotiating for a very long time with the Cowboys. The long-term commitment could put pressure on Dak to be successful in Dallas, but his former coach at Mississippi State, current Florida head coach Dan Mullen, doesn't think that's the case.
It's a dream come true, and I'm just happy for him that it was able to get done. I think it actually relieves some pressure for him that now there's kind of he knows what he's doing. There's stability there within his situation, you know, and his complete focus only is on winning a championship, you know. And so I think that's a big help for him, and I couldn't be happier. And it's well deserved, well earned, and you know, I couldn't be happier for him.
By the way, they've got about $50 million in cap space, Joy. They haven't done anything. Obviously, here, if you're a Dallas fan, here's the optimistic view. Dak's better than Dalton, and he gets Mike McCarthy's second year with a preseason. Great news. Dan Quinn, massive upgrade at defensive coordinator. Going to spend most of your draft picks on the defensive side, and you got $15 million of cap space, probably on the defensive side. So the optimistic view, and Washington had a chance to do something special at quarterback and got Ryan Fitzpatrick. We don't know if Daniel Jones can play, and the Eagles are kind of a mess. So the optimistic view with Dallas is defense will absolutely be better, and the offense should have less chaos. So that has a 9-7 feel to it.
I'd like them to upgrade a little bit on the offensive line, but I was actually surprised you had Washington ranked.
Well, I did, but again, I have Dallas and Washington kind of the same.
Okay.
Dallas is one of, and Eric Mangini and I disagree. I don't think you can solve all your problems in the draft, but I do think Dallas is so bad defensively that if they landed a really good pass rusher and a corner and spend a little money, like, by the way, that Bears got rid of, say, $14 million on Kyle Fuller, the corner. If I'm Dallas, I can do worse with money than go get a Kyle Fuller at corner, because Dallas has a couple of young corners they like. That would not be money poorly spent.
Well, speaking of the Bears, they have found a new backup for Josh Allen. Mitchell Trubisky is going to the Bills.
I saw that.
GM Brandon Bean says he believes it's a reset for Trubisky. He does not expect him to be in Buffalo long term. Trubisky had a 67% completion percentage, 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and 6-3 as a starter in 2020. I mean, look, it's good to have a good backup for Josh Allen. Obviously, I don't anticipate Mitchell Trubisky seeing a lot of time on the field in Buffalo. But I do wonder what becomes of Mitchell Trubisky now that he is out of Chicago.
I think he becomes what he is, a backup and a bridge one-year player.
So he's in that sort of Mariota space?
Well, the quarterback position in college is getting better every year. He's taken so many snaps. You know what he is. And I think he becomes sort of a little bit of a bridge or a really high-end backup. Like if like a prime example, if I was Washington, I would not have signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. I could have easily seen them sign Trubisky and Marcus Mariota. And between the two of them, they're both kind of similar, where they're really good moving the pocket and they're okay, not special throwers. There's a place for Trubisky in the league. Plus, he's a good guy.
I mean, yeah, he's a good locker room guy.
Good locker room guy. This is why Tyrod Taylor keeps making a lot of money. He's a good locker room guy.
Yeah, there's definitely that role is very valuable in the league, and you can make a lot of money for a long time.
Are you good in the room with a young quarterback?
Yeah.
Are you a grown-up? This is, by the way, Jacoby Brissett's another guy. Walks into, everybody likes him.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is the ultimate example of that guy.
He's the quirkier version, yeah.
Yes.
It
wears Hawaiian shirts, but yes, he's great with that.
What you either be great or really be a good guy, but if you're like not the greatest guy and way better and not nearly as good as you think you are, you'll be out of the league quickly.
Yes.
But if you're great or good guy to have around the room, there's always an availability.
And because there's always injuries, too.
Yep.
So there's always great value to being that guy.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I think you did solve, Joy solved the dilemma earlier on Marcus Mariota, because I can't figure out why, and nobody will go out and get Marcus Mariota, who to me is a better version of Trubisky, and a little more reckless, but I think a better arm and a little better athlete. It's a contract thing, so the Raiders are probably going to ask him to renegotiate at a much lower rate, and if I was Marcus Mariota, I would not do that. I would put myself out there. I mean, ask here, even today, just think of the teams that have we'll call it quarterback anxiety. San Francisco. Denver. I'm sorry, but Washington. I mean, come on, that's not going to... Okay, Philadelphia. I'm asking for quarterback anxiety. Denver, San Francisco, Washington, Philadelphia. Pittsburgh. I mean, they never admit it. Okay, how about this?
Pittsburgh has Dwayne Haskins,
this?
Too, though.
New York Giants. By Thanksgiving, they might. They're not gonna sign somebody because that would be bad messaging. Same with Philadelphia. They may in the room not feel great about it, but they're not. They'd wait for the trading deadline.
Well, Philadelphia is talking about possibly drafting a quarterback. But, yeah, I would agree. Marcus Mariota might bring in too much anxiety for
Jalen Hurts.
But, yeah.
There's still teams out there.
Denver.
Oh, that's yeah. I've come to the conclusion the reason Sam Darnold hasn't moved yet is because the Jets have not made up their mind yet. It's the only thing that makes sense. Right? Because you'd get way more.
Or they're being just way too greedy with him.
Well, the Jets will not draft an edge rusher because they just solved that with Carl Lawson. I don't think they need any urgency on getting a receiver with the two they just signed. So it's corner and offensive line.
I just think it's a risky move to run it back with Sam Darnold if you're the Jets.
I get it. I totally. And I always said it. If I was a GM of the Jets and I. Listen, we're all selfish. I mean, let's be honest. We're all kind of selfish. So if I was a GM, I'm just acknowledging my selfishness. For my career, I would draft Zach Wilson. Because my concern would be that the teams that need quarterback, New England, San Francisco, if I move down or something and I put Zach Wilson on the market, he could end up, the teams that need it, Carolina, Matt Rhule, New England, San Francisco, those are the three teams that are going to move up. Well, those coaches are all exceptional in terms of Belichick, Josh McDaniels, you'll get a coordinator, Matt Rhule, and Shanahan. And so Zach Wilson will flourish to some level, and people are going to come to me in 2 years and go, you're an idiot, you're fired. So just for job preservation, I would take Zach Wilson, and then if he fails, I can go, well, Robert Saleh doesn't know what he's doing.
Resets the clock. Plus, also, if Sam Darnold is better, which we're assuming he's going to be at least a little bit better, you're not going to be in the same draft position next year. So you're in an opportune spot right now. You don't want to be picking 10 or 11. Then what are you going to do next year?
Good point. Jason McIntyre, we call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. It's one of my favorite segments. Ends our Friday show, and he is going to be joining us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes driving is great, sometimes it's not, like when it's pouring outside and the spring is choppy weather in most of America. Michelin wiper blades, they hug your windshield like a Michelin tire hugs the road. Get yours today on Amazon Prime. He's my good friend, Jason McIntyre. He does a Fox Sports radio show, 10 in the morning to 1 every Saturday, and he is joining me live, Straight Fire. So, by the way, you love, since I've known you, love the tournament. The tournament's your thing.
Well, Colin, I mean, it's only basically, 3 weeks of action? And if you remember, 2019, I came on your show. I told everybody Virginia and Texas Tech are going to be in the championship. I had it in my bracket. I nailed it. I won a lot of people money. The problem is I had Texas Tech beating Virginia. So that didn't totally work out, but a lot of your audience loved that call back in 2019. Hopefully we can do it again.
Okay, so we're going to do some 3 college basketball and 2 NFL headlines. So let's start. Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline going to be for the dark horse team in the tournament?
Yeah, a lot of people love Gonzaga, Illinois. I like a good dark horse. I'm a career underdog. Give me an underdog. The headline will be hook 'em, book 'em. Texas Longhorns, Colin, this is a team to watch. Okay, I have a tried and true formula, right? 3 things I always look at. Do you have a good coach? Shaka Smart, excellent coach. We've seen him take VCU to the Final Four. Do you have good senior guards? Texas checks that box. Coleman and Jones. You know, you need that senior leadership. And do you have a star, the third one, to take over? Texas has 2 lottery picks, these big kids. I mean, this is a monster team. I think they can handle Michigan if they go up against them. I like them to take down Alabama. This is a team I like a lot. Florida State 7. Oh, sorry, Texas Longhorns. Keep an eye on the Texas Longhorns.
All right. I like Texas. Good for them. New football coach, good basketball. Tomorrow's headlines today. What's it going to be for the biggest upset of the tournament? This will be interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know I'm from the East Coast. I grew up in Northern Virginia, so I know this team well. The headline will be Virginia Cavs look like the Cleveland Cavs. I've got Virginia going down in the opening round. Colin, it's tough for Virginia, right? They had the COVID scare in the ACC tournament, right?
Yeah.
So they haven't practiced all week. They've been in quarantine. They arrive in Indy today. They play tomorrow. That's just a tall order for a young Virginia team. I've got them going down to Ohio. Ohio has a kid. You're going to hear a lot about him. Jason Preston. He has hair like LaMelo Ball. He's a flashy passer, can get buckets. I think he's going to be a first-round pick this year. Really talented kid. I have Ohio on the money line taking down the Virginia Cavs.
Oh, so you're going for the W straight out. Good for you.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. Tomorrow's headlines today. You know, I know who I like. So what's your headline for the team that wins the tournament?
Winning the national championship, the headline will be Brady Impact. Lightning win, Bucks win, FSU wins. Yes, Florida State shocking the world, winning the national championship. Leonard Hamilton's never been to a Final Four. He's fallen short a couple times, but they have a kid on their team, Scotty Barnes. Reminds me a lot of Jimmy Butler, can lead an offense. This is one of the tallest teams in the country.
Yeah.
5 guys, 6'9 or bigger. They can handle anyone on the perimeter. Good senior guard and MJ Walker. Colin, you got to go outside the box, right? You want to win your pool? Give me the Florida State Seminoles.
That's really interesting. Well, you know, it is You know, I've been talking to a couple people. It could be a very good year for older teams because older teams have always done well in the tournament, but they usually lose to these young Kentucky Duke star-driven teams. And the Kentucky Louisville Duke teams aren't as good this year. They're not in the tournament.
Indeed.
So that's why my prediction for the whole tournament yesterday was watch the Big Ten actually have a really good tournament because they won't get knocked off by those freshman great teams. They're just not in the tournament this year.
Good analysis, Colin. I didn't know you loved college basketball so much.
All right, here we go. Let's go to our NFL stories. Tomorrow's headlines today for the NFL team that's had the best off season so far.
We were all excited on the show last week. Remember, I told you Kenny Golladay going to Miami. Hasn't happened yet. The Giants are trying to get him. But the biggest NFL offseason winner, the headline will be Chargers catch lightning in a bottle. Colin, the biggest buy team for me right now next year is the Chargers. Justin Herbert, they get him two offensive linemen to protect him up front. And this is a team loaded. I like the defense improved a lot. Colin, other than Pat Mahomes and maybe Josh Allen with the Bills, I don't know who the third best team in the AFC is. Ravens have a lot of questions. We know the Pittsburgh Steelers are a little old. Give me the Chargers here. I really love what they've done in free agency so far. I like them a lot next year.
By the way, Derwin James, who's a remarkable talent, who has struggled to stay healthy, comes back for them. So that's all. He's an impact safety, a Jamal Adams-type safety. So he comes back, and they did get the best center in the NFL. All right, tomorrow's headlines today, the team that has had the worst offseason so far.
You know, I'm a positive guy. You're very positive. We like to say nice things.
Yeah.
I don't mean to come down hard on this team, but the headline will be writing Belichick's they can't cash. The New England Patriots. Colin, you're not buying this, are you? Tell me you're not, because you can go out and sign 10 free agents and win in the offseason. When has that ever translated to a big, deep playoff run if it does not include a quarterback? Quarterback is the key position, and the Patriots can pick up all these B-minus and C-plus guys they want. But I don't see this team with a quarterback, and that's the big question to me. Maybe Belichick can pull a rabbit out of a hat, get Deshaun Watson, get Marcus Mariota, but I don't trust Cam Newton, and thus I don't love what they've done. When you're pumping up a tight end, Jonnu Smith, who's never had a 500-yard receiving season, as like the crown jewel of your free agency, and overpaying Nelson Aguilar, like, Colin, what are we doing here? I'm sorry. I'm not buying what the Patriots are selling. Third in the AFC East.
Wow. I got to be honest with you. I've disagreed with almost all my guests today, but that's the fun of the show. Yeah, I mean, I actually
like... You like what the Patriots...
Well, I like what they did at tight end. I thought they just acknowledged, hey, we drafted two last year. They can't play. We're going to go buy two B-plus tight ends, and that's going to solve our issue. And I do think Cam's last nine games... He had a 90 quarterback rating, 65.5% completion percentage, 12 total touchdowns. I don't think he was great. But in fairness, once he got COVID, the next 2 weeks he was awful. The last nine games, he was fine. And as you know, their receiving core was putrid. So I always said, people told me at one point Cam was a $50 stock, and I said he's 25. Now everybody's telling me he's a $7 stock, and I'm like, no, he's a 25. So I never got high on him. I never got low. I think he is a playmaker who, when surrounded with a good running game and tight ends, can win games. Is that fair?
Yeah, so, but look at the outside. Like, I get it. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are solid tight ends.
They are.
And when Cam won in Carolina, he had Greg Olsen. But I look at the wide receivers, I'm like, who's winning on the outside? Edelman's 34, Colin. The rest of the guys they got are, you know, they have a bunch of number two and three receivers. You know, there's no alpha out there unless you think Aguilar is just going to catch every deep ball. And the defense just wasn't great last year. Massive regression from 2 years ago when they led the NFL. I don't see it. Are they better than the Miami Dolphins right now, Colin?
I think it's close. I think it's very...
Now you're looking at third in the AFC East.
Right. I think
Baltimore and Cleveland are going back. Cincinnati's better. We've talked about Jacksonville. I like what Jacksonville's done. They're leveling up. The Jets are not going to be awful this year. You know, six or seven wins for the Patriots. Is that too negative?
One more thing. We got a minute here. Take your time. Sam Darnold. Why isn't anybody going after him? Does he have a market, or is it people who surrendered on a 23-year-old kid?
Yeah, well, the person I talked to about this says basically everybody believes the Jets are taking Zach Wilson second, and the Jets thus have no leverage for Sam Darnold. So everybody's offering him, hey, I'll give you a 4 and a 5. And the Jets are like, no, this is a guy who went third overall, and we think we can get a second round pick. But everybody's looking at it as, well, you can't keep Sam Darnold. You have no leverage. You can't draft Zach Wilson and have him looking over his shoulder at the number three pick, Sam Darnold. So the Jets have to unload him, and everybody's trying to go bargain basement shopping. They will not send him to the New England Patriots. That's just not happening. They're not keeping him in the division. I think there are some options in the NFC. Hey, you're buddies with John Lynch, okay? He worked at Fox with us. Super nice guy. What's going on there? Very slow play at the quarterback position for the 49ers, right? I mean, they say the right things about Garoppolo, but...
No, by the way, there was a story today out on Darnold in San Francisco that it makes a lot of sense. So I think what the 49ers have is what nobody wants to have in March. They have, the term I used earlier, is they have quarterback anxiety. They just don't feel comfortable getting as an extended schedule to 17 games when Garoppolo struggles to get into October, and I think they have quarterback anxiety. And so my theory has always been, I bring Darnold on and I tell Garoppolo, I'm going to trade you at the deadline in 8 weeks. I will try to trade you a place that you have a chance to win in the AFC. But we're going to bring Darnold on. He needs to learn the offense for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Then we'll move you at the deadline. That's what I think they do before the draft.
Let me toss in last one. Sleeper, the Raiders. Just keep an eye on the Mariota situation, right? We know Gruden has never loved Carr. It looks like they're going to cut bait with Mariota, and he's going to be elsewhere. They will then have no backup. And Gruden, by the way, oh, the Raiders nearly made this list of worst off seasons, like dumping two offensive linemen when that was like the strength of your team, signing another running back when Josh Jacobs is terrific. Raiders are they're out in the ocean right now. Nobody knows where they are or what they're doing. So it's a risky move, but keep an eye on Darnold and the Raiders.
All right, good stuff. Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre, podcast every day. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you know, like Carolina's got quarterback anxiety. They're not in love with Teddy Bridgewater. You see the stories leak out. Niners have quarterback anxiety. They worry that Garoppolo, the NFL's now extending the schedule to 17 games. They're in the toughest division with Aaron Donald and, you know, now Arizona's got J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, and we have Jimmy Garoppolo who gets hit and gets hurt. So San Francisco, to me, and the Darnold thing just makes sense. And you go to Jimmy G and say, listen, we're going to play 7-8 weeks, teach Sam the offense. We will be a good guy. Be a good guy. We'll send you AFC to a quality team. Or do what we believe is a winning situation.
It makes sense what Jason said about the draft picks, though, that people are... No, trying to go low.
It does. You know, he's got good sourcing on that. Yeah. I think it is. Everybody's trying to give him a 4, and they want a 2. The supplement I take every day, backed by science, powerful ingredients, is M-Drive, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shoppe, all have it prominently displayed. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. MDriveForMen.com. Join and I'll see you Monday. Be safe. It's The Herd.